Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to see each one of you here this morning as we come together to continue our worship of our Father. We've already started our worship. We're now just continuing it. This is not the most important part of our worship, where David gets to stand up and you get to decide what he's going to say and whether or not it was beneficial or not. All of the things that we do here are hopefully beneficial to you, but they're all according to God's divine will. There's book, chapter, and verse for everything that we've done so far, and we want to keep doing it that way. We're not interested in changing a thing that is found within the Scripture. I want to show you some things. I want to show you that I did go to Costa Rica. And one of the best ways to do that is to show you pictures of your brethren in Costa Rica. Now, there were about 70 people that were there the Sunday that we preached. Now, behind that wall that you see way back there, there are people behind that too, people that could not get into the main auditorium. So we were thankful for those folks being there. And each one of them came up and wanted me to express again their appreciation for you allowing me to be there. Here's another just view of, I like this one better because I skinnied all of us up. I wish there was a way of doing that on a regular basis, but anyway. The pictures themselves of where you see myself standing up there and Reuben as well, they were taken before the services. We would not take any pictures whatsoever during the worship service. We just wanted to let you know that this is what it was going to look like when we finally got started. And this young man here, Jose, is 17 years old. And he's sort of grinning right there, which is all right. He explained it to me later as I put it on Facebook. He said, "I'm scared." this is the first time that this young man had read the Scripture publicly. He'd been a Christian for 3 or 4 years, but this was the first time that anyone had ever asked him to read publicly. And so he said, "I was scared stiff." And I can understand that. Some of you have been there. But he did an excellent job, as far as I could tell, since he was speaking in Spanish. But he also, young people, let me tell you something. He also translated for me on many occasions. He has learned English. And so whenever he and I were together, he would tell me what all the other folks were saying. And it was interesting that when I first met this young man 10 years ago, he couldn't say more than howdy to me. And now he can understand about 95% of what I'm saying, and he translates that to the other people. This, of course, is Reuben and the preacher there at Alajuela, Costa Rica, Santiago Soto, and a fine preacher. I was going to say young, but he's gotten older, so he's not really that young. He's about 45 or so. So those of you who are 45 now understand I don't think you're young. So he's a fine young man and preaching the gospel. Reuben, of course, translated normally for me when I stood up before the people. Reuben was ill before we went down there, and he had still some of the problems while we were there. He's back home. He's gone back to his doctor. And they're trying to find out some of the difficulties. He had some blood issues while we were down there, and they took some blood and took it to the lab and found out that his blood count was up about 7 or 8, and they weren't too happy with that. They're hoping that it had to do with the medication that he was taking before we went down to Costa Rica. So keep Reuben in your prayer. But again, you needed to see those brethren in Costa Rica, because that's what it's all about. That's why I go down there. That's why the elders here have seen fit to send me down there on several occasions. In fact, that was one of the agreements that we made that when I moved here, is that from time to time the elders here or the church here would send me to Costa Rica because of the involvement with those people there. And it's taken 10 years 10 years to really get as close to them as we need to be to them, so that now they feel no problem whatsoever of coming up and asking me questions and then relying upon even the young man to answer those particular questions. So it is worth every hour, every dime that we spend as we go down there, because when it comes down to it, how much is a soul valued? How much is a soul valued? And again, there's only two or three preachers down in the whole nation of Costa Rica, and this is one of the young, this is one of the men that is there doing that. Now, let's get to our subject of the hour, as we have been talking about for several weeks. We've been talking about the church of the New Testament. I said before, and so say I again, that I think one of the things that we have failed to keep in mind is the importance of the church. Now, again, I wanted to bring this back up to you, and Cynthia said put it back up there, so I try to mind the missus every once in a while. And so, 25 years ago, in that building back yonder, not here, but back there, when it used to be back there, on April the 29th through May the 3rd, I had the opportunity of coming here and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the messages that I presented 25 years ago dealt with the church. I've done a survey just asking different preachers and different elders as well in the last little bit. I asked them, when was the last time that you actually had someone come in and talk about the church? And most of them had to admit that it had been a long, long time since the subject of the church had been presented. I think that this is probably one of our difficulties. Sometimes we live for the now, and whatever we perceive to be the problem of our generation, that's what we want to talk about. One of the favorite subjects today is that of family. And almost everybody wants to hear more about the family. Well, let me tell you something, beloved. If you learn about the church and your relationship to the kingdom of God, and how that you're a member of the vineyard, how you're a member of the temple of God, your family's going to be okay. But if you don't understand about the spiritual kingdom of God, then you're not going to place the significance on it as you should, and your family's not going to know enough about it to put in a teacup. I am convinced a lot of us have forgotten what it means to be a member of the church of the Lord. We'll stand up and we'll talk about a lot of different things in our life and what we're grateful to be a member of and associated with. One of the things about Kentucky is that one of the things, if you want to really get a good discussion going, is to talk about the University of Kentucky versus the University of Louisville in basketball or football. And it is interesting and amazing sometimes how far we will go to discuss what a great institution each one of those universities may be. In this particular area, for some reason, you think blue is better than red. But then it is a discussion that goes on, and you can have that discussion for an hour. And it is interesting how many people say, I really would like for my son or my daughter to go to the University of Kentucky. I'd like them to be an alumnus of that organization. I have no problem with anyone wanting to be a part of the University of Kentucky or any other university, as long as they put God first. But let me tell you, the thing that you ought to be concerned about most in your life is not whether you are a follower of the University of Kentucky basketball, football, but whether or not your son and daughter are a member of the Church of the Lord. If you're not concerned about your son or daughter being a member of the Church of the Lord, you're probably going to fail them in every walk of their life. They may go to UK and they may get a doctorate degree and you name whatever it might be. But if you have failed them to show them the importance of membership in the body of Christ, what difference does it make if they went to the University of Kentucky or the University of Tennessee or U of L? We're talking about membership in the Church of the Lord. Young men, let me tell you something. Those of you on the front seat and young girls right behind them, jumping over Glenn, of course, that what you need to be concerned about, what you need to be concerned about is your membership in the body of Christ. that you are a Christian, that you are a child of God, and just what does it mean when I talk about being a member of the Church of the Lord? We're not going to be able to go to all these passages, but you are familiar with them, or should be. If you're not, you better get busy and put your head back in the book. But one of the things that we need to see is that to be a member of the body of Christ of which He is a head is to be a worker in the vineyard. A few moments ago, our brother, we sang, working, it's dealing with working. And the idea is work for the night is coming. Work to the work for the work. We've got a job to do as members of the kingdom of God. We are workers in His vineyard. Paul later on said, as well as Peter in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, as well as 1 Peter 2 verse 5, that we are a living stone in a spiritual temple. That means that we are alive. We're doing so. We're not a dead piece of wood. We're not a dead rock. We're not just dead weight here in this building. Just because we're in this building doesn't mean that we are as we need to be. We need to be alive. We need to be actively involved in letting everybody know that we are of the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2, 23, 25, and 27 talks about the church in particular, how that Christ gave Himself for it, and talks about how we are the bride of the groom. Christ is the bridegroom. We are the bride. And in Colossians 1, and there verse 12 and 13, how we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are in the family of God. Do you understand that? You and I are in the family of God. We may talk about our lineage sometimes, and some folks stand back and say, you look into my history and you'll find Abraham Lincoln. You look in my history, you'll find Benedict Arnold. You look in my history, and they'll tell you a little bit about their history. And you ought to be grateful for who you are, no doubt about that. You ought to be grateful for your family. But the first thing that you need to be concerned about while walking upon the face of God's earth is that I am a member of the kingdom of God. I am a part of the body of Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have what? Put on Christ. And what have we become, as it says there in Galatians 3? We are children of God. That's the first thing. That's the important thing. And I do not believe that we have emphasized that enough. I think we've emphasized everything else. And do these other things need to be emphasized? Yes, 1,000 times yes. But if we don't from day one, when our child comes upon the face of this earth, start impressing upon them the importance of being a member of God's family, then we have failed them. You know, I'm against child abuse. I don't think any child should ever be beaten. And oh, we get up in arms, and rightfully so, when somebody says, this child has been abused. Our children are abused when we don't impress upon them the importance of being a member of the body of Christ. When we don't emphasize to them, no, we won't do this because this is my obligation, this is my duty, this is my responsibility, I'm a child of the kingdom, we will be there on Lord's Day because we're members of the body of Christ. We'll be there on Sunday afternoon because we're members of the body of Christ. We'll be there on Wednesday night because we'll be there during vacation Bible school or gospel meetings and any other opportunities that we have. We're going to be there because we're members of the body of Christ. Yet some folks don't have any problem missing for school functions, don't have any problems missing for vacation, don't have any problems when it's hunting and fishing time. Because you see, it's important to get those things done. Not at the expense of saying to the world that my membership in the body of Christ is not important. You see what I'm saying? It's interesting, you can be sick on Sunday and so alert on Monday. You get a slight headache on Sunday, you'll stay at home. You get a slight headache on Monday, you wouldn't miss for all. Because you see,
you've made a commitment to your place at work.
Your commitment is first of all to God, is it not? Is it not? Membership in the Church of the Lord means enjoyment of rich provisions. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, 1 Peter 3 and there verse 12. We've got a Father that is watching over us. A Father that cares. Now, there's no doubt as I look out over this audience that you as an earthly father cared for your children. And some of you are caring for your grandchildren. I can appreciate that. But you have one greater than any earthly father has ever been. And that's God, Jehovah, creator of all things. And He provides for all things that we need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is, let God rule in your heart. Let God have control over you. And all these things will be added to you. He's even going to correct us and chastise us. Hebrews 12, and there verse 5, it talks about a father chastising his son out of love. And he turns around and says, that's how I am. And oftentimes when we hear messages that come from the Word of God, such as this, sometimes, or part of it at least, is to say to us, myself included, being a member of the church is very important. Don't forget who you are. How many times has a parent said to his child or her child as they go out on a date, remember who you are. Remember whose name you carry. And isn't that the way it is with us who are members of the kingdom? Remember whose father you have. Remember the name that you carry. We have a right to appeal to our Father which art in heaven. We have a chance to talk to Him. You know there are millions of people all over this world that don't know your Father? Who do not have the slightest idea that He exists. And you're able to call on Him. To have fellowship with other brethren, partners. You know, as I stand here now, I know that down in Alajuela, Costa Rica, that those brethren that we looked at a few moments ago, they're 2 hours behind us. But I know that at 9:30 their time, they're going to be down there in that little building, sitting on those hard seats, worshiping, fellowship, partners. What they want down there is what we want here. Is everyone that is assembled here to get to heaven. They want to go home. We want to go home. We're in this together. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 through 5 talks about that eternal inheritance. We have something waiting for us. We've got something that is far better than a pigskin from some university, as they used to call it. We've got something far greater than having worked some 30 or 40 years for a particular company. We have something far greater than killing the greatest buck in the state of Kentucky that's ever been killed. That is, we're members of the kingdom. We're members of the Lord's church. We're part of the vineyard. We are the temple of God. Membership in the church of New Testament days meant a life of holiness. Paul said to the brethren at Corinth that they had been washed, they had been sanctified, they had been justified. This is who we are. There's no trash in there. No ugliness in there. One greater than the other. We are saints, as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, to the saints at Corinth. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 that it was a holy calling. We are a holy people. We are a set apart people. Man, what a great opportunity. What a great body we are a part of. And there is nothing that will ever be that high there's nothing that even comes close. Because of who we are, we depart from all unrighteousness, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and there verse 19. Members, do your children know how important it is to you to be a member of the church? Have you impressed it upon them? Can they see it in your everyday activity? Membership has its responsibilities. Since the local church is the only unit of organization known in the New Testament for carrying forward the work of the church, it follows that for a Christian to be in fellowship with the church, he must be associated with it, be a part of it, and be amenable to the local church. There's no such thing, as you read in the New Testament, of membership at large. But yet, how many times do you run upon people who claim to be members of the churches of Christ who haven't darkened the doors in 20 or 30 years? Paul always associated himself with the local church. When you go to an area, you ought to associate yourself with a local church. If it's not one there, maybe you don't need to be there. If there's not one there, maybe you ought to start one there. Are you following this? Are you getting the importance of this? See, we're not playing church. We're not playing church at all. We're talking about who God is and His Son giving His life on the cross of Calvary to establish a body of believers. As Jesus said, I will build my church. What's He saying in Matthew 16? I will have my body. I will have my gathering. I will have my people. We are that people. Are we not? Are we not? Subjection to the elders as members of the local congregation. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and there verse 5 that the elders are to exercise oversight of that body. Obey them that have the rule over you. They watch for your soul in Hebrews 13:17. 1 Timothy 5:17-19. You know, it's interesting. People want elders until an elder comes up and tells them you're not walking right. You ever notice that? We like to talk about being a congregation where elders rule, where elders lead, but then all of a sudden when one of them, hopefully as a collective body, comes up to us and says, you're not living right. You're not attending as you should. You're not being a light to the community that you need to be. Isn't it interesting then that everybody wants to say, you didn't do that right. The elders were always right until it came home to roost with us. Every once in a while someone is withdrawn from, and everything is great as long as that person being withdrawn from is not of their family and not them. As members of the body of Christ, we are to be in subjection to those who have the oversight over us. And let me tell you, if you don't want somebody to oversee you, then just, well, I'll hush on that point. Go with it where you wish. No, you don't need to quit. You need to repent and let the elders be what they need to be. But as members of the body of Christ, joint participation or fellowship in the work of the church is, as Paul wrote to Titus, be ready to every good work. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, as it talks about every member supplying his or her part in this body. What are you doing? What could you do? What must I do? Luke 6, it says, every tree is known by its fruits. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Scripture says. Paul wrote, let every man do, in 2 Corinthians 8 and there verse 7. Prove your own work, Galatians 6, 4 and 5. Seems to me, as I think about the local church, and as I am a member of it, there's something that I've got to be doing other than sitting on this pew or standing behind this piece of wood. That membership has its responsibility. You know, when you talk about other organizations, every once in a while I get tied up with something and they send me all this stuff. You're looking at a Kentucky colonel. You can call me colonel if you want to. I won't answer on that. And he put Kentucky in front of it. But it is interesting. All I did to get that thing is to go down to the Capitol and go down to the bottom floor and tell this lady I want to become one. She says, okay. And she signs me up and sends me this nice little certificate. And, man, it looks good. But then 4, 5, 6 weeks after that, they send me all these brochures of what they would like this Kentucky colonel to do. I think they have probably demoted me to etch private now. And the reason being is that it's not really that significant. I'm even a Tennessee colonel and some other things, which are of no importance. But I don't do anything that they ask me to do. Was being a member of the church any different if God has called upon me to do and I don't do? Isn't it sometimes like being a Kentucky colonel? We got the paperwork. We may even have a piece of paper that says, I was baptized by so-and-so a certain year, a certain time. What good is the paper if we don't understand the significance of what we've done? We are to be involved with the preservation of unity, peace, and harmony of this body. Where you attend, those of us here and those of you who are visiting from other places, how harmonious of a group are they? What part do you play in that harmony? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:10 that there be no divisions among you. Still to the same brethren in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 24, no schism. Same care one for the other. Romans 16 said, avoid them that cause division among you. And Peter said, endeavoring, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace in Ephesians 4. This should be one of the most peaceful gatherings anywhere. You understand? I mean, there should be peace and harmony at Overland regardless of what is going on around about us. And never, I mean never, should there be any problem among any of us. And if it is, we handle it quickly. Why? Because of who we are. We're members of the church of the Lord. We're members of the vineyard. We're part of the kingdom of God. We are of the temple of God. Man, let me tell you, the very nature of the church speaks of how great we're supposed to be. Not that in reality we're the great thing. We follow the great one. That is Christ Himself. We are to preserve and maintain the purity of the church. Christ died to establish its purity. And as 1 Corinthians 12 points out, He's going to deliver the purified church up to God in judgment. And we must do everything humanly possible to maintain that purity. Fruits to be born, the church has a mission to fill. We talked about that last week. at souls to save. We are to bring forth fruit unto God. A branch that does not shall be cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus says, so shall you be my disciples. Who? Those who have accepted the life that comes through the vine.
I might add also, it took an hour or so to deliver these lessons back in 1985, and you know what? People didn't care that much back then, because they weren't hurrying to get back to Facebook, iPods, computers, telephones, and all that kind of stuff. And they wanted something, and they were getting it. And whatever time it took. Lawrence Stevens, I hadn't been preaching long in McMinnville, Tennessee, and I found this little plaque, and I knew he did it. And some of you remember Lawrence. It said, stand up, speak up, and shut up. And I sort of laughed at that when I got it, put it off to the side, and went on. What about salvation and church membership?
God does the saving. Salvation and pardon or forgiveness is from God. He blots out our sins. The church doesn't save. The question is, can anyone enjoy the salvation that God has provided without being a member of the church of God? It's a rhetorical question that answers no. If you're not a member of the church, you cannot be saved. Salvation is in Christ. You must be a member of the kingdom in order to be saved. The essentiality and the importance of the church is seen in Christ's own attitude towards it. In Acts chapter 20, and there verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock among which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He gave himself for the church, Ephesians 5:25. It is evidenced by his attitude towards the essentiality of the church by the price that he paid. Christ paid his life. He gave his blood for us, collectively and individually. You realize that? Do I realize that? Do I dwell upon that thought? That Christ must have thought his church was something because he died for it. Now you say, I am a member of the church. Do you emphasize the church to the point that you would give your life for it? You might say, yes. What about your time? About your efforts? About putting it first before all other things. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2, and there verse 5. One cannot be in Christ without being in the church. Christ is the head. The church is his body, and Christians are members. Members cannot be joined to the head without being a member of the body, which is the church. Christ is the king. The church is his kingdom. One cannot be subjects of the king without being members of the kingdom. Christ is the bridegroom. I'm going over some of this hurriedly. I understand that. But some of this we've already stated, but it needs to be reemphasized. Christ is the bridegroom. The church is his bride. The two are one. One cannot be related to Christ, therefore, without being equally related to the church. As a child belonged by the same birth to both the family, of his father and mother, to be in Christ is to be in his body, which is the church. And in Christ Jesus we're made nigh by his blood, in one body, reconciled by the cross. As Ephesians 2 verse 16 points out, how the Jews and the Gentiles were brought together at the cross. every blessing spiritually that we have. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse
3, or verse 3, let's read that together. You've heard it time and time again. It cannot be overemphasized. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm in the kingdom. All blessings are mine.
The same process and conditions hurriedly that save from sin makes one a Christian and adds one to the church. Faith plus baptism equals salvation. Faith plus baptism puts one into Christ. Faith plus baptism adds one to the church. There is therefore no such thing as being taught one thing to receive salvation and be taught another thing to join the church of your choice.
It just does not exist.
Conclusion? Simple. Are you a member of the Lord's church? How about this local congregation? Are you a member of this local congregation? What does all of that mean? Are you grateful to God that you're a member of the kingdom? I oftentimes hear, even in our prayers sometimes, our men will pray, we're grateful for this local work, for the good that they do. What are you, what am I doing to make this work profitable in the service of God? Oh, we may go back and talk about UK, UT, Arkansas, Alabama, South Carolina, Eastern, Western, whatever. Wouldn't it be great that occasionally we would sit down with someone else and talk to them about the greatness of the kingdom of God, the importance of this membership which we are part of, and the joy that we feel because God has allowed us to become members of the kingdom? It is an allowance. It cost him his son. This membership we have cost him his son. We are a holy nation, a precious people. And maybe, just maybe, the next time somebody asks you, who are you? Instead of going through all this rigmarole of secular things, that you would say, first of all, I am a Christian, a member of the Church of the Lord. And that governs every other activity that I am involved with. If you're not a part of this kingdom this morning, if you're not a part of the Church of the Lord, it's an easy thing to remedy. You'll repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. We will immediately bury you. Your sins will be washed away. And praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2:47. If you have forgotten how important this membership is, then you need to ask God's forgiveness. Because you're discounting the sacrifice of the Christ. God will forgive you. Now, once again, you're ready, willing, and able to share that membership with others by way of teaching them the importance of the church and being a member of it. Think about that as we stand in this.